Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. We'll be there in just a moment. I really was moved by some of these quotes. If you take time to go back and read them, these are just men. This is not the Bible, but these are quotes from the men of God over many generations who have stood for the Lord and have gone out as missionaries or mission-minded. And the very last one there just moved my heart so much, remembering Dr. Sexton. That picture that was up there was a classic picture of his that I took and just turned it into black and white, penciled. Listen, it's hard to imagine that he stepped into eternity. But guess what? Every one of us are going to step into eternity, every one of us. And we do wise to listen to the wise words of those who've gone before us. We might say the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, that we may be wise, as that proverb says, in our latter end. This morning, as we've turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we considered the greatest need, the greatest need. You know that the greatest need of every person is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is the greatest need. It's for the souls of men. It's not for finances. That's not our greatest need. The greatest need is not for us to have more things or more stuff. It's not politics. It's not our greatest need. It's not our greatest need to have more land or more power. Greatest need is for us to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to others that we come across. You see up on the screen there a map, and that map has dots all over it of places where we here at Liberty Baptist Church support missionaries. You can see where those dots are. You can see where those dots are not. You realize that the mission that God has given us is to herald the gospel, is to cry out the gospel, the life, death, burial, and resurrection. There's such immense need. We heard the number this morning, 3.2 billion folks will step from this life into next unless something changes without ever hearing the name of Jesus. It's shocking. And I don't know about you, but it grips my heart. And I understand that it's an abundant, an immense mission, and it's abundant need. And guess what? God knows the need, and He knows that He's given us the mission. And so with that understanding, you and I can have assurance in our hearts that the Lord will equip us for this great task. Do you know it's the Lord's will that men should know the truth, that they should come unto the truth? That's God's design. And so if we're in that vein, if we're headed down that road, surely God will help us. Now, this church family has been richly blessed, there's no doubt. And I believe why you've been richly blessed. You think it's from great administration. I tell you, no. It's because you've relied upon the Lord. It's because you've given to the Lord's work. You see, the Lord Jesus, in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, He walks among the candlesticks, those candlesticks representing the churches at any time, because it's His church, He can take away the candlestick. But as we support His mission, we go His direction. We understand the Lord sustains us. Just this past Sunday, we took part as a church family in the ministry of giving to Brother Scott Norman and his wife, Mary Lee. And they're headed out to Saipan, and we wanted to send them some additional support to be a help to them. And I want to let you know he has received that support and is thankful. And this is what he said. I quote, "I don't know what to say." He says, "I'm overwhelmed with gratitude and a bit stunned with joy. Thank you so very much for your kindness and your sacrifice. You have greatly blessed us, and we thank you." And then he says this, "May God indeed supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What a testimony, not only for this dear family, but to you all, for being willing to help and support a missionary. Think of this for just a moment. Support 15 missionaries abroad, 16 if you count Brother Norman and his wife getting ready to go abroad. We support 10 missionary families within the states here in the United States. We support 9 other stateside ministries that are not traditional missionaries, but they're reaching folks all over the world. We think about organizations like Bearing Precious Seed, that produce Bibles, they produce gospel tracts and literature, they spread that abroad, in many cases for free or next to nothing, to get the gospel in the hands of others. We think about the Gospel Hour radio, and I thought about that and think about, does that ministry make a difference? Well, back in July, there was one that called up and said that they had received Christ listening to that radio program and want some more gospel literature to walk in the, to be able to go further in the walk with the Lord. We think of locally the Green Pregnancy Center, and really a dual-fold thing here that promotes not only the sanctity of life, but at the same time counsels those that come in to receive Christ as their Savior, life upon life. Boy, what a wonderful thing that is. We think of the Greene County Interfaith Food Pantry and giving food, physical sustenance to those who are in need, at the same time giving them the spiritual needs as well. You see, God has allowed us to support so many. We support multiple Bible colleges, and I think about that and the fact that they're training folks in all variety of services to go out as missionaries, to go out as preachers of the gospel, to go out and work in the secretarial lane of the church, some working in education in Christian schools, and it's a wonderful thing. When you look at the list, it really is, it's quite amazing that the Lord has allowed you, listen, the Lord has allowed you to take part in that. And it's with God's enablement, I want you to listen, that we can do more. The Lord is not done with Liberty Baptist Church. There's more to be done. There's a need that needs to be met. There's no doubt about it. And I want you to see here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, it's often cited during missions conference as you've turned there. I want to assure you that though this passage may have been looked over many and many a time during a missions conference, just know this, when you plunge into the Word of God and you delve into God's wisdom, you'll find this, that there's always more to learn and there's always more to apply. And I can attest to the fact of reading a passage over and over again. And often the Lord reminds me of lessons He's taught me in the past. But can I tell you, oftentimes it is as I read the Scriptures that I'm taught afresh and anew something wonderful from the Lord. And that's good. So let's look here in verse number 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're only going to read 4 verses and then we'll pray. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, that abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." If you are underlining things in your Bible, you might underline that phrase, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And I want you to think about tonight, just for a few moments, the fellowship of grace giving, the fellowship of grace giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help us to understand really how blessed it is indeed for us to give by grace towards missions. Lord, help us to understand what a privilege we have, just as much a privilege to come into the church house, a privilege to be among the fellowship of believers, a privilege to sing of these great hymns, a privilege to witness to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have a privilege to give of what you've abundantly given to us, to be a part of grace-giving missions. Lord, help us to understand that we need to take hold of this privilege. And Lord, would you bless in a mighty way? Help us to go way beyond where we are today in this matter of giving. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. It's an amazing passage here in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. It shows really the work of grace of God in the hearts of God's people, in the lives of God's people. And I think about the missions giving here at Liberty Baptist Church. And really what you're seeing take place, you look on the back on your way out, Brother Gene just updated the Grace Giving Missions Board right back there. It's current for 2026 up to this point. Listen, what you're seeing is God's work of grace in the hearts of his people. That's what that is. And there's two terms that people often use for this matter of missions giving. One term is called faith promise. I think that's what's back there on the board there, faith promise. And the idea is simply this, that as we give, we're giving by faith. Now, this should be no surprise to a Christian. You see, we live by faith. We live by faith. And so for us to say we're giving by faith is just an understood thing. And so it's faith promise. And we're making a commitment to the Lord based on our walk with the Lord. I think that's a pretty good commitment, to make a commitment to the Lord based on my walk with Him. And it's a good term. We understand in particular our theme this year for Liberty Baptist Church is faithful Christianity. The term, the verse that we use as a theme is Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans 14:23 tells us this, just so you know, whatsoever is not of faith is, guess what? It's sin. And so the context of that verse is dealing really with our actions being in reality as it should be, as unto the Lord. When I give, guess what? I'm giving not as unto the preacher. I'm not giving as unto the church. I'm giving as unto the Lord. When I give out a gospel tract, I'm not doing it for Liberty Baptist Church, although that's part of it, but really, ultimately, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. When I go home and I'm a husband that I should be in my home, I'm doing it not because my wife is the most beautiful, wonderful woman in all the world, although she is, but I'm doing it as unto the Lord, you understand? Our whole lives should be faith lives. They should be as unto the Lord, and our giving ought to be the same way. And so there's that term, faith promise. But then there's another term that people use, is grace giving. I think of the two terms. Grace giving is probably more contextual. It's more found in the scriptures than the word faith promise. It is found right here in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians in the first 4 verses. I like that term because it's what we see recorded here. I want you to look down at your Bible for a second and notice in this chapter the abundant references to the word grace in this chapter. Look there in verse number 1. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. Notice what it says, the grace of God bestowed. You drop down to verse number 6 and notice again the word grace. It says, so he had also finished in you the same grace also. Notice there, verse number 6. Look in verse number 7. You look on the latter part of that verse, and the Bible says, see that you abound, and guess what? In this grace also. Drop down to verse number 9. I'll just read it because it is a powerful verse. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he is rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be what? Rich. And then we see not only there, verse 9, but notice in verse number 19. The Bible says, and not that only, but who also was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this, notice what it says there, this grace. Do you get the idea that the Holy Spirit of God is emphasizing this word grace in this chapter? I think he is. There's no doubt about it. Now, when we speak of grace giving, we immediately in our minds reach back here and grab a hold of our wallets, if we've got one. I gave mine up to Shannon. It's sitting in her purse right now. But we grab our wallets. We think, well, we're talking about money here. Grace giving, hold on a second. But that's not all that grace giving is all about. You see, I want you to connect the word grace with what God has given to you. Once you connect the word grace with what God has given to us. You might be asking the question, what has God given to us? Could I give you a simple answer? Everything. It's all his. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4:7 tells us this. It says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? Who made you to be different? We know the answer. God did. And he says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? The answer, we know that one as well. Nothing. And then he says, now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst received it? You see, all that we have, save sin, is given to us by God. It's all His. The truth of the matter is we must learn that this is really us stewarding life. This is all about stewardship. What are you going to do with what God has given to you? And I'm going to give you three simple points, and then we'll be moving into communion tonight. If you'll write these down, believe that as we see how God intends for us to see this, we must understand, first of all, number one, grace received. Grace received. Before we can give anything at all, I want you to realize tonight that everything that we have, we've already said it, even our ability to give comes from God. It's grace received. And you know this, that you cannot give what you have not received? We think of this at times in terms of studying the Word of God, and my wife says it all the time. Listen, you can't, the Holy Spirit of God can't recall what you haven't put in. What you haven't put in. And listen, God has put into us a lot of things. He's put into us a lot of things. God enabled these churches in Macedonia to give. Notice it in verse number one. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. Notice the word bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And see, God had given them what they could give. And one of the greatest principles you ever learn in the Christian life is to give away what God has given to you. You take what God gives you and you give it away. You give it away for His glory. You give it away for His work to be accomplished. And see, it's a shame that there's so many out there that are spiritually gifted in certain areas, and they do like this. They hold it all to themselves. They increase in knowledge and abound in understanding of the Scriptures, but they hold it all to themselves. Oh, that's not what God intended. He intends for you to take what He's given to you and to use it for His glory and for His honor. When God teaches you something, guess what? You ought to give it to other Christians. When God gives you a talent, you ought to give the riches of that talent to someone else. You remember the parable of the talents. In that parable, we won't take time to turn there, but each person was given from the Lord. Now, they had differing amounts, and who's to rebuke the master for giving the servants differing amounts? Listen, that's God's business. And He gave one some, and He gave another some. There's one fellow, He gave one talent. You remember that fellow? He took it, and He folded it up and He kept it. He held on to it. Now in that parable, when the Lord comes to call about the talents, He finds the one that had the five doubled. He finds the one that He had given the three doubled. In other words, they took what God had given them and they used it for His glory and His honor. But the one fellow, he kept it all to himself. He hid it. He never used it. And you know what? At the end of that parable, that the man that had the one talent lost the only talent that he ever had. It was taken from him and it was given to another. What God has given you in the way of spiritual gifts ought to be used properly for what He has intended for the benefit of others. Acts 20:35. And Paul was speaking and he says this, I've showed you all things and how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. What did he say? He said this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, pastor loves to receive. And I think every one of us here tonight wouldn't be ashamed to admit that I like getting things. I like good gifts. Hey, guess what? The Father likes giving good gifts. Praise the Lord. And it's okay to like to receive things. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know this? The real blessing is taking what God has given you and giving it out for His glory. That's where the real blessing is. And so we see here, first of all, grace received. We must always remember all that we have, whether it's financial, whether it's talent-wise, whether it's spiritual gifts, whether it's opportunity, whether it's time, here on this earth, all of it God has given to us. But then secondly, notice this. Grace responds. Grace received for sure, but grace responds. We realize the grace of God in our lives, I believe, in kind, it results in a response of grace. See, the grace of God affects us. It should affect us. Notice in verse number 2 and 3, the Bible says, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Do you notice that the response of this grace by the Macedonian churches is seen in their giving? The response to the grace that was bestowed upon them is seen in their giving. This is where we get the term grace giving. And what are they responding to? Oh, they're responding to the grace of God bestowed upon them in verse number 1. Would you notice this as well, that the Bible tells us this response was not based on circumstance? I bring that up because oftentimes it's so interesting. When you're out talking to folks about the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus, occasionally you'll run into people that say, well, I'm going to wait till all the circumstances of my life get right, and then I'll receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to wait. You know this, the truth is that the circumstances, if the devil has anything to do with it, they'll never be right. They'll never get to that place. You know, the same holds true in this matter of grace giving. God gives you and I and sheds upon us grace abundantly. And we might be tempted to say to the Lord this evening, well, Lord, when the time is just right, when the circumstances of this life present themselves in such a way, maybe when gas prices go down, which is never going to happen, then I'll give towards mission. When that happens, I'll start investing in eternal things when that day comes. And just the same, the devil, if he has anything to do about it, I guarantee you, the circumstances will never, ever be just right. Oh, if the flesh has anything to say about it, the circumstances will never, ever just be right. If the world has anything to say about it, and by the way, they have something to say about it, the circumstances will never, ever be right. Friend, I want you to look at these believers. Notice in verse number 2. When do they give? The Bible says that they gave when they were in great trial of affliction. The Bible says further in that verse that they gave when they were in deep poverty. Look at it with me. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. In fact, if I were to meet with these folks and I were to take a poll and say, listen, what is the best time for you to give towards this offering to be a help to the saints in Judea? What's the best time for you to do that? Now would not have been the time. This would have been absolutely the worst time for them to even consider. From a worldly, rational perspective, they would have said, well, when I crunch the numbers and I do the figures and I figure it out, this is not the time to give. And by the way, I'm not advocating for folks being foolish. God has given you a brain for a reason, to figure things out, to reason, and to understand. But you must put the Lord first. You must put the Lord first. The word poverty here, it describes a beggar who has absolutely nothing, has no hope of getting anything. Their difficult situation may have very well been caused by their own Christian faith, for they may have lost their jobs or been excluded from the trade guilds because they stand for Christ or refuse to have anything to do with idolatry. Not only that, but they were in a great trial of affliction. Many of you know what that means. May you've been through great trials of affliction. They come in all different sorts. And so we see the example they gave in spite of those circumstances. But notice in verse number 3, The Bible says, for to their power I bear record. But then he says, beyond their power, they are willing of themselves. Now I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. How does one give beyond their power? The answer is very simple. It's only through the empowerment of God. You see, you and I have very little power. But to give beyond your power is only something that God can do. It's only something God can enable you to do. Do you know this, that God is able to do beyond what you and I can figure out with a slide rule? You realize that? How many at the end of the year get an end of the year giving statement from your church? I think everybody here. And you open that thing up, and have you ever been shocked when you look there at the very bottom and realize how much you gave in that past year? You know what that is? God enabling you to give beyond what you thought, beyond your power. You had no idea. And so the Lord enables us. It's this kind of giving that recognizes this, that God is the source. He's the source that supplies all my needs. One expositor said this, great affliction and deep poverty plus grace equals abundant joy and abounding liberality. And so we see God not only, grace not only is received, but grace responds. Would you notice lastly, and we're done, grace refreshes and it relates. It refreshes and it relates. When we give to the work of the Lord, what we're actually doing, in case you didn't know, is we're taking part in Christian fellowship. A lot of people have some weird ideas about what fellowship, Christian fellowship, really are. They think it's just a bunch of Christians getting together in a room and eating a bunch of food. And I'm all for that. I'm thankful for the times we get together and eat a bunch of food. But can I tell you that Christian fellowship goes way beyond that? You see, those who are without can get together and eat food in a room, but not those who are without can have the kind of fellowship that you and I have, because we're bound together by Jesus Christ. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, the fourth verse, it says, praying us with much entreaty that we will receive the gift. And notice what he says here, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You realize this, that grace giving not only binds us together in purpose, but it brings us in fellowship with other Christians beyond the four walls of this assembly. Oh yes. See, grace giving brings you and I to the mission field on the other side of the world. It brings us together with the servant of God who's on the mission field laboring for Christ. Every time we give here at Liberty Baptist Church and we take part in missions giving, listen, you and I are partnered up with Brother Curtis and his wife and all that they're doing in Africa for the cause of Christ. It's an amazing thing. We could take our prayer bulletins and walk down the names and the lists and say the same thing about every missionary that we support here. You see, grace giving, it refreshes us. It refreshes us doing the work, and it relates us one to another. These givers were praying that they would receive the gift, and by doing so would enjoy the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. When we realize what a blessing it is to give, then we can truly be a cheerful giver, can't we? It's hard to be a cheerful giver if you don't understand what it is that you're doing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. See, that's where it begins. Right here. Every man as he purposeth in his heart. Let him give, not grudgingly, listen, not of necessity, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. You know, we should never say, I have to give, I have to give. We should say this, I get to give. You see, we don't come to the church house because we have to. We come to the church house because we get to. And I want you to think about grace giving. It's not something we have to do. It's something that we get to do. What are the ways we can touch the mission field? And I'm done here in just a second. Number one, we can pray. We can pray. And there's a reason we list all the missionaries on the prayer bulletin. There's a reason we've been asking for updates. There's a reason we flash the pictures up on the screen, because we want you to pray for these missionaries each week. And I believe one thing that you and I can do this night is we can commit to praying for our missionaries. Listen, you understand we're to pray for laborers. We need to pray for that as well. We need to pray for folks to go to the mission field. I think it's sad every time I have been to a missions conference, it's always mentioned there's more folks coming off the field than are going on. Listen, why is that? Why aren't we praying for more laborers? Maybe it is we're scared that we'll be the laborer. I think we need to pray for laborers. Number two, we can go. We can go. Maybe it is for someone tonight, and I don't know. Maybe it is someone's here tonight and the Lord is calling you to some mission field other than Snow Hill, North Carolina. Now, I don't want you to leave Liberty Baptist Church. The pastor never wants to see someone leave, but I do want you to do what God wants you to do. In other words, if that's the Lord's will for you, you need to go. You need to go. And maybe it is. Can I say every Christian is called? Every one of us here tonight, we're called. Every one of us are called to be a witness for the Lord. Not one of us are exempt from that calling. But not every Christian is called to go somewhere else in the world. I understand that. But maybe it is tonight you're the one. I would submit to you that you need to yield to the call of the Lord. Thirdly, not only can we pray, we can go, but then lastly, we can give. Now, I pointed out this morning, and in the pew in front of you are the missions envelopes, the grace giving envelopes. Right here on our giving envelopes, we have an opportunity to give by grace towards missions. This is grace giving right here, this missions block. That's what that's for. This is what took place in this chapter. It was a special offering that was to go to the churches in Judea that were having difficulty. This is what we call grace giving. It's giving for a specific need. Did you know this? I did the math. If just 40 family units at Liberty Baptist Church committed to give $25 per week, that'd be $1,000 per week times 52 weeks in a year. As you know this, our missions giving would go from $24,000 to $52,000 per year if every family unit just committed to give $25 a week. We'd jump up double what we're giving right now towards grace giving missions. And you know this, if we were to give, every family were to say, you know what, I'm going to give $50 every week, and if I was going to commit to that for the rest of the year, do you know that we would have a missions budget well over $100,000 for the glory of God to be able to support missionaries? Once you think of that, that'd be 58 missionaries at $150 a month support. I'm just simply saying that it matters what we do with this envelope in terms of our great grace giving. And I'm going to ask you tonight, will you commit to giving specifically to grace giving missions tonight? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father.